Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 525. Science Faction, the things we thought we knew.
Like math? Like how when people, like, because I mean, it's not that I think I know it, it's that people think I know it. So, like, people will ask me very simple, rudimentary math questions, like, what's 5 times 6? And they're always surprised when I just say, interesting, as a response.
Speaking of interesting, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, is my comedian, Mr. Damian Mercado. Damian, how are you doing this afternoon?
Not too well. Feeling kind of dumb right now. My niece asked me to give her 50 cents, and I just stared at her for 10 minutes until she walked away from me disgusted.
She was asking for an album by 50 Cent, Damian.
Damn it! Into club! That's what she meant by into club!
Oh dear, and this is our Thursday show where we go through some of our old bits and bring them back. If you guys want to be able to vote on which bits we should do after we do a few of these, we're going to open it up to voting. Make sure to check out our Patreon where you'll be able to vote on bits. You'll be able to get one more episode every week, our big I Call BS episode, which we do every single week. There's 5 of those on backlog, by the way, so if you join up now, you'll get all 5 of those. By the way, if you're a patron and you listen to the coronavirus episode, you can have an episode of Science Faction almost every night of the week. 4 nights out of 7. The majority of nights of the week, you can listen to some Science Faction. That is a good friend that's sitting there waiting for you every time you pull up that podcast app.
Patreon will always slide into your DMs. You just gotta pay.
Let's go right on to the things we thought we knew.
The things we thought we knew. Because sometimes old science, like old people, is worthless and wrong.
Is that a robot dick in my DMs?
No, it's just a microphone. Sure Microphones is having a sale. They sent you an ad.
Who got away with it? I almost got me too'd.
So the things we thought we knew is a bit that we've done before, where we basically look at something that we thought science had figured out, but that we just got new science on that kind of changes the story. I always love these things because you get a chance to modify your pre-existing beliefs. And as we say, the only thing that counters science is better science. And so it's always nice to, you know, narrow in on what we do know and what we don't, and to get better and better at how we describe and understand the world around us. So today we actually have some good news to report about a story we've covered for a long time. Devil face cancer.
The nightmare cancer. Like, if you were to write that same plot of what's happening to the devils, the story we've covered of the face cancer that's transmitted, if you were to make a horror movie that for humans, I wouldn't be able to sleep. That would be...
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting. So we've been covering it since 2015 or so. It was first discovered in 1996 by a photographer, but it's likely been around since the 80s. Now, it's a really interesting cancer. It's one of 2 known contagious cancers, meaning like you catch the cancer from another person. There's a cancer that dogs have that works this way, and this devil face cancer, except this devil face cancer is super lethal. In fact, for a while, we thought it was 100% lethal. In fact, I guess for a while, it was 100% lethal. And what this is at some point in the 1980s, some particular Tasmanian devil developed a facial cancer, a tumor. And then, for whatever reason, whatever weird genetic makeup this had, and it has to do with the kind of social aspects of devils, which is when they have a kill, they all go crazy and they all eat at it and scrape at each other and bite at each other's faces. And because of that, it got transmitted and it became a contagious disease. It's like cancer herpes or something. And so this one devil's cancer got transferred to the devils around it. And then it got transferred to other devils around it. And it basically wiped through the Tasmanian devil population. And this cancer, which is crazy, it's crazy the idea of having a contagious cancer, right? You don't usually catch cancer from somebody else who has cancer by touching their tumor, but this is one weird case where it is. And in a sense, every one of these devils is walking around with a weird kind of growth that is essentially the body of some of one particular devil that was around in the 1980s, which is kind of nuts. And it is, at least at some points, nearly 100% lethal, and it kills in a lot of ways. One is it totally weakens the jaw and muscle structure underneath if it's on the mouth, makes it hard for them to eat. If it's on the eyes, it grows so big they can't see. On the mouth, it usually grows so big that they eventually can't eat. And if it's on the nose, it grows so big that they can't breathe. And so, it, like, what a horrible way to die is to slowly have your vision obstructed so you're too blind, have your mouth obstructed so you can't eat, or have your nose slowly obstructed, and then you fucking die of asphyxiation.
And then you just have to hear Bugs Bunny taunting you the whole time, chomping on a fucking carrot.
So this has been like a really, really significant thing. Over the last few decades, the Tasmanian devil population has gone down from 150,000 to less than 25,000. That's a huge decrease. That is a massive die. That is Saiga level die off right there. And what we thought we knew about it is that this disease is totally fatal. We have found some tidbits since then that suggest maybe it's not. So a couple of interesting side notes before we get into those tidbits, including the article that was published today.
We talk about a lot this of great porn names, but I think Tidbits might be the worst porn name.
Tidbits is somebody who does a specialty porn where their genitals are so small that they don't scare people who have PTSD from sexual assaults.
I was thinking it was a type of pornography meant to make guys with micropenises feel good about themselves.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that works too.
Hey, both scenarios. Both scenarios are equally valid.
So this disease is so significant. We talked about, you know, that decrease from 150,000 to 25,000. It's actually also changed their social structure. It forces devils, which used to have like pups every season, it now forces basically female devils have one season of pups because they die so quickly that they can't have more. Basically now each female Tasmanian devil can only have like one litter of pups. Changes how when they mature, they seem to be maturing earlier. And that's probably because those devils that do tend to sexually mature a little bit earlier have such a significant advantage over those that don't, that those genes have been passed on. So the time at which devils sexually mature has gone way down, which is also a really crazy idea. So it's weird how this is kind of like pushing devil evolution. But new research has shown that it seems to be spreading more slowly, and sometimes we have now found that it can be survivable, which is really interesting. When we started reporting on this, it was thought that it was 100% fatal. It was like rabies. Like, if you got it, you were dead. And the devils may actually be evolving resistance to it. We think now that there are some populations of devils that are genetically distinct enough, they're far enough away from the original devil in the 1980s, that they might be able to fight it off, and maybe that is why they're resistant to it. There's also something really interesting where so many devils have died that there's not a continuous population of animals. They're now like islands of animals, and because of that, it's having trouble spreading as fast because so many have died. It's like after the Black Plague when they're like, yeah, the colds were way down, and it's because there was so few people to catch and spread colds that like the cold virus and stuff went way down.
Now, most animals, you know, if you take them out of the ecological chain, it causes devastation. But since the devil's like just such an asshole, is it just like, yeah, all the other animals are happier, just less devils? They were actually holding Australia back significantly.
How dare you, Damien? Everybody knows they're one of the best sources of cheap power, because you hook them up, and as they spin around rapidly, you know, you can power a car or a windmill generator or something with them.
Just got to feed them a rabbit every once in a while.
There's also the idea that maybe this is becoming more survivable for the same reason that fatal viruses become more survivable. We've talked about this in terms of coronavirus. A disease that's really, really fatal ends up killing its host to the extent that they then don't have time to pass it on, unless they're like long-term diseases like HIV. And because they don't have time to pass it on, then that particular variant of the virus is selected against. Whereas, as the disease goes through the population, there's different mutations in the virus. If there's one that doesn't kill the host as quickly, well, now that has an advantage, because now that one can get spread to more people because its host stays alive longer. There's an idea that because this cancer is being transmitted, similar to a virus or a bacteria, that this cancer is actually following some of the same epidemiological rules that apply to viruses, which is a fucking nutty idea. Like, because this cancer is now its own almost like living entity that requires the devils to transmit it from one to the other to the other, maybe there's a selective pressure on little mutations it gets as it gets transferred, whereby one that is not nearly as infectious has a big selective advantage, and therefore evolution is acting on this cancer tumor the same way that it would act on a virus or a bacteria.
Now, the devils that survive this, now, are they just forever Elephant Man type devils, or?
They do still usually have tumors. It's that the tumors can be suppressed or under control enough by the devil's immune system that they don't, you know, keep them from eating or seeing or smelling or breathing or whatever. So they do usually still have tumors. It's just that the tumors don't go so out of control like we used to see with 100% of cases. Now there is some percentage that are able to fight it off long enough and they live a, not a normal, but a livable life.
But they're still contagious.
Yeah. Yeah, and who knows if they're more contagious or less contagious. You know, you could imagine that if with the smaller tumors, they might be less contagious. It might be a less contagious strain, like we've talked about. But it also kind of brings up the interesting idea of, like, do we now think of this cancer, this transmissible cancer tumor as, like, a new type of life form? It's parasitic, so maybe you wouldn't call it necessarily life form, but it's like, so are a lot of viruses. So it is a weird thought to think of like a transmissible tumor as a life form in and of itself. The rules of evolution are now applying to.
That's right. I was going to have my cancer operated on tomorrow, but what if it's sentient? What if it's...
Yes, there should be a lot of pro-life people outside oncology offices.
You're just killing with radiation poisoning. Put it out quickly.
Very interesting, but great news. Because again, I remember reporting on this. I think it was like 2015. I remember us sitting in the Madhouse Comedy Club reporting on this particular thing when we were first reporting on it. I remember just being really sad. Like, what a sad thing to think that an entire species might be wiped out by my child's generation. Where, like, kind of a cool one too. Like, I like seeing them at the zoo. And I get they'll always be at the zoo and in isolated areas. By the way, we do have some isolated populations that we've purposely moved to like islands and stuff so that they can be prevented from catching this cancer. But how sad would it be if there aren't these wild things? I get a little bit of that when I think of the Saiga too. But
except you cover your son's eyes when looking at a Saiga.
No, they're blurred out. The noses are blurred out. No, but like the Saiga, at least, like I didn't really know about them until that story, but everybody grew up with Tasmanian devils. Like, it's kind of a cool little animal. And like the idea that they would just be gone from the wild because of a disease. And it's like, as far as we know, not even our fault. It's not one of the few things that isn't man-made or a human problem. We didn't out hunt them. They weren't the dodo bird or something. You know, it's just one of those things where it's like, man, that would be really sad if I grew up telling my grandkids, oh yeah, let me tell you about when there were Tasmanian devils in the wild.
Well, I don't foresee any more extinctions coming up for any other species for at least the next 100 years. So
I mean, I would, as long as they're not like Looney Tunes related species, then
as long as they don't lose the duck, the rabbit, the pig, Martian,
the giant rooster.
Yeah. You know what, when was the last time you saw a giant rooster, Bobby? One big enough to grab a hound by its tail, lift it off the ground, and beat it with a 2x4 in its ass.
Or the sexually perverted bald hunter. Yeah, then we're okay.
The rootin' tootin' redneck.
You ever notice, like, Elmer Fudd, he's always out, he's spending all of his time, you know, with some weird pseudo-Freudian desire to kill some rabbit, and, like, there's no talk of Mrs. Fudd, there's nobody being, like he's never having to go home to spend some quality time with his family. There's always, like, he's got some weird sex thing with the woods and rabbits. And
I like it when the rabbit dresses up like a lady.
Oh, and skunks, obviously. We can't forget them. Yeah,
a little problematic today. No means no, Pepe.
Yeah, those are the two that really stand out, is Elmer Fudd and that skunk. Both, they would both be me too'd at this point.
You're smelling like a Frenchman is the least offensive thing about you.
You're talking like a Frenchman is. Then the sex stuff.
Oui.
Oh, dear. Well, thank you, audience, for coming back for Science Faction 525, where you learned all about the things we thought we knew about devil face cancer. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 526.
Pepe Le Pew has been forced to change his style. He no longer chases women running away. Now he negs them. Fatty.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.